The second reading from the same chapter of St. Mark, that is the first chapter of St. Mark. And we said that St. Mark, if it was to be a musical piece, would be played staccato-like. They're very concise vignettes that form the gospel. And one of them last week was of the healing of the people in the synagogue, how they came to the synagogue. And it was public. All that was happening in view of everyone. But in the second reading we have this morning, everything is private. Everything is quiet and in the house of Simon's mother-in-law. And it is the case that the privacy takes place after they're in the synagogue. So they leave the synagogue, and it says when they left the synagogue, or they left. That might remind us that there's more to our relationship with God than being here. I am not saying that you shouldn't be here, but there is other things that go on in our spiritual life and in the privacy of our homes. In a moment on a bus, could be anywhere, we have the same access to God as we have in this church building. When I was a boy, I had a godfather who was a Scotsman, and he would read the lessons. And by the way, on my bucket list is try to go to Scotland and sniff everybody that walks by and see if they have that same aftershave, because I remember it to this day. I can smell it now. And he was in church, and then after the service was over, I went looking for him in the parish hall, because there was breakfast every Sunday. And I couldn't find him there, so I went looking further, and there he was kneeling at the altar rail back in church when no one was there. And that was an insight to me that there was more than met the eye with this church stuff, that God was present in what was going on between his ears and mind there, outside of church. So they leave the synagogue. And it's if you visit the Holy Land, you would be... in Capernaum, when you were in Capernaum, you would see the giant shrine church that the Franciscans run. It has a glass floor, and it is right above this place that's mentioned in the gospel today. It's right above the home of the mother-in-law of Simon, the fisherman, with Andrew. So you can see it's a little place. Maybe it would take up no more than from the pew to the rail to the wall. But that was the normal size of a house. And it's, of course, crumbled down to about this high, the walls. But you can still see that it's a house. And the reason that they had a house in Capernaum was because they were fishermen, but the family lived in Bethsaida, up the street, about 25 miles. So while they were fishing, when they were fishing, it was a good idea to spend the night locally rather than having to trudge home every night. So they stayed in this house in Simon. Simon's mother-in-law, would prepare a meal for them, no doubt, and they would operate from that, and they invited Jesus to that spot. And that is the setting for the gospel this morning. The business about casting out demons and healing the sick by a touch of the hand reminds us of television shows that we would not support that particular show, probably. And we are skeptical about that kind of thing. I know I was and am. But my point of view changed when, in my first church on my own, they had a wonderful family, and the wife and the children came to church. The husband did not. But one day after church, the mother said, would I please come and pray for her husband? He has these terrible migraines, and it is so bad for so long that he is thinking of having to retire from his job as a lawyer. And that would change their entire way of living. So I said, of course, I'll come. And when I did, I picked up my trusty oil stock. This is, every priest gets one of these on his ordination as a gift. And it has a little ring here for those who are manually challenged, so it doesn't fall off and you don't drop it if it's in your work like this, and open it. And there's a little piece of cotton in there with oil, scented oil, blessed by the bishop on Monday, Thursday every year. So I was sort of nervous about this, and I kept right to the book, and I anointed him with the oil, and said a prayer, and just visited a little while, and then left. And I got a call about 3 days later, and the mother of the wife said that he hadn't had a headache since I left. And I thought, that's interesting. And then the next week, I figured, well, anyone can have a relaxation of a symptom. And I called on them then about 10 days later and said, how's John doing? She said, he still hasn't had a headache. And he had them daily before we did this. So that sort of astounded me. So I am ambivalent now about the power of God to cast out demons. You could say that headache was a demon, and that it happened through me praying for him. But not, it wasn't only me praying, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just reading from the book. I am persuaded by this passage that says, by an archbishop who simply said, things happen when you pray that don't happen when you don't pray. There is an efficacy of prayer. It happens. Things happen when you pray that don't happen when you don't. But all healing is not just physical. In fact, maybe most healing is not physical. It is a truth that we can be healed emotionally, or we can be healed spiritually in just as significant a way as physically being healed. And I have a little story about a visit I made to the oldest church in San Miguel de Allende, where we spent a lot of time, in central Mexico. And there are many churches all over, but I was hunting for the oldest one. I was tracking down a piece of art and an artist that might have been there. And I noticed that I got there early because I didn't want to be in front, because I was about this much taller than anybody else. So I wanted to be in the back. Many of you who like to sit in the back do not have that excuse, by the way. So you can pull yourself up. And there was a few older women there, very short and small. And one woman walked in, and everyone looked at her, and she turned and stopped and made a formal bow, like so, and then turned and found her seat. And everyone who came into the church that way was greeted with this bow, this ceremonial bow. And it was a way of acknowledging that person. It was like a convent moved out into a local church, because in the monasteries, in the convents, that's done also, an acknowledgement of each brother or sister as they come in for prayer. So this is a passage that struck me, this passage about God naming everything, even the stars in the heavens. He calls them all by name, but that bow to the other people there presumed that they know her name and she knew theirs. It's a small village. But that's something that we should think of as we lead our lives every day, that to acknowledge someone by name is to give them some power, is to give them encouragement to go on being themselves, because it's very lonely to be in isolation. And that's what our culture pretty much does. It keeps us in isolation. I was in a city in Saratoga, California, and we were in one house. And on one side of us, there were children the same age as our children, and on the other, the same, just on the other side, each of us, and down the street too, probably. And our children met the one on this side and were talking with the mothers and said, do you know this person on the other side? She said, no, never met them. I mean, we're 40 feet apart, and the kids were all by themselves, and they were used to being so isolated and out of community with people in that same area. And by the way, in California, something going on behind closed doors in one house could be light years away from what was happening in the next house. We do all sorts of things, decorate the houses so differently. So people are stuck there, and as much as you like to indulge your own tastes and have privacy, Still, it's lonely in the long run. We should be in touch with each other. And this person was. The other important part of this passage this morning is that Jesus then went away for prayer. So the strengthening foundation behind all that he did in healing and encouraging the people, all that was behind that was his relationship with El Señor up there. And he did every day, and it's a sign to us that we should have a quiet time every morning or afternoon or evening. And being retired, I have that luxury. We get up early and sit quietly and then read something to each other. And then pray for each of you, by the way. I pray for on a cycle at noon, at 6, noon, or 6. And so we are all remembered in prayer before God because he is the one who has given us our names. And he knows us as we are and accepts us as we are. Says that we, and one of the prayers that goes with this says, be present with this person, that God knows the number of the hairs upon our head, the cells in our bodies, and is closer to us than the air we breathe. So let us look around us today, this week, and find someone who needs encouragement, needs acknowledgement in their humanity as brothers and sisters with us and as children of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.